Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. God's grace, His mercy, and His peace, they're ours because of God the Father, through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, you probably know that there are people who hate going to the doctor. I won't ask for a show of hands. You might incriminate yourself. There are some people, though, who hate going to the doctor. Ah, they're all quacks, every one of them. They just all want my money. Besides, there's nothing wrong with me. I think I just pulled a muscle in the left side of my chest with that tightness and the pain. I'm good. Do you think that in heaven God actually walks up to some people and says, you know, if you had gone to the doctor, I would have given you 15 more years. It worked for Hezekiah, king of Judah. Just saying. You know, there are some people who are afraid of church in kind of a similar way. I hate going to church as though there's something wrong with me. Besides, all they want is my money anyway. God and I are good. I'll check him out when I need him. I'll check him out when I need him. Truth be told, most people know what they're going to hear if they go to church. What God is going to say to diagnose them and to prescribe for them a cure. And we don't always want to hear it. We know our lives. We look back on our lives. We look back on our sin. We look back on yesterday. And we might think to ourselves, I don't need God to remind me who I am and what I've done. Not this week. Maybe next week. Maybe next week I'll go, I hate doctors. All they want is my money anyway. Do you think God will walk up to people on Judgment Day and say, you know, I sent you a doctor, my son. I would have given you eternity. Just saying. Today, we ask the question, do we trust the great physician of our souls? Today, we get a chance to follow along with the clinic that Jesus, the great physician, gave in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Let's listen in and read in. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The word of our God. Like any clinic with a keynote speaker, the attendees are there for different reasons. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, well, they were the PhDs of religion of their day, at least in their own minds. They were the elitists, the better-than-you crowd. And they had come from all over Galilee, every village in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. What we really had here, practically speaking, was a national convention of the rabbis of Israel with one ticket item on the agenda. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Can he be the Messiah? And in reality, does he have to be the Messiah? Because Jesus lets us know that these teachers had a heart condition. They did not want him to be the Messiah. They had no need for a spiritual Messiah to speak into their lives. We're good just the way we are, thank you very much. But like any clinic of experts, there's always those who are sincerely there to learn, to make connections and network and glom on any freebies they can that are being shared around. So we have five men who were there with sincere intent to get the most out of this clinic, this workshop they could. They were here to talk on this day to this rabbi, this Jesus of Nazareth. They had a heart condition too. There was something happening in their hearts. There was faith bubbling up in their hearts. They didn't quite know what it meant, but they knew they had to come with this question and say, Lord, would you please heal our friend? Now, if anyone was qualified to wow a crowd in this moment, it was Jesus from Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth who came from God. He was the expert from heaven. He was the one who had written the textbook on basic human spiritual needs, basic human spiritual blessings from his Father. He had crafted the body. He creates our souls. He puts them perfectly together. He had warned us, don't ignore the owner's manual given to you for this life. For if you do, you will die. Both body and soul, you will die. But seeing before time even began that we would be have self-determination come into our lives, arrogance before God, and that we would reject trust in the Maker, Jesus put in place already, Jesus who would eventually come from Nazareth, put in place a salvation protocol that he wrote and wove throughout his textbook. It's called the gospel. The good news of how to be saved from the death of the body and the death of the soul. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers, well, they were in attendance to sit in judgment on Jesus, the teacher, Jesus, the master teacher. They had a heart condition, and they didn't want him. The five men, one of whom was paralyzed, and whether he had just fallen off a roof that day and it was a mass rush to the clinic, or had he been paralyzed his whole life, we don't know. But these five men also came with a heart condition and a simple request, Lord, help our friend. Different symptoms of the same common problem. All of these men, by nature, spiritually, were dead men walking. Sin was affecting them. Sin was killing them. Sin had killed them. Whether they recognized it or not, it was true. And lo and behold, they had come to the clinic, a clinic of the master teacher, the great physician of body and soul. And they were about to get more than they had ever bargained for. How familiar are you and I with something called an intervention? Here's a dictionary definition of an intervention. Action taken to intentionally become involved in a difficult situation in order to improve it or prevent it from getting worse. Let's hear that again. action taken to intentionally become involved in a difficult situation in order to improve it or to prevent it from getting worse. An intervention can take place when a family or an individual steps into the face of a loved one and calls them out for sin and an addiction that is harming them and others in their life. And that can be a sin and or an addiction that can go be anything and everything from alcohol addiction to emotional abuse to gambling addiction to gaming abuse. Go down the list of sins, and somewhere your sin and mine will pop off that list and be our addiction. An intervention can also be less sin-focused and more focused on just the results of living in a sin-cursed world. Maybe it's the tough conversation. You know, Dad, we have to talk about your keys. We're concerned about you driving safely anymore. Or, Mom, we got to talk. You're not taking your medication every day. We, your kids, are not sure that you should be living alone anymore. Interventions. Different symptoms in any scenario, but the same common cause. Sin in this world, either sin that has killed us spiritually or is harming us and touching us because of the consequences of sin, same. There's different sets of symptoms, but same common cause. And again, today, in this account, we have the master teacher, the great physician of body and soul, about to address both groups, both sets of symptoms, highlighting the same cause. Now, in a typical intervention, quite often what happens is the initial reaction of the person who's being intervened upon is a vocal pushback against the person who has been speaking. How did that look in the account before us? When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew their thinking. "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Matthew records Jesus' words in this way. "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" The Pharisees and teachers of the law were accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Foolish talk about God and foolish talk against God. Now, if Jesus were an ordinary man, their questions might have been legit if it had come from a proper attitude of heart. But Jesus was not just some sideshow magician who was good at sleight of hand and pulling rabbits out of hats. The crowds were here this day for this teaching clinic because Jesus had been gaining a reputation of doing things that only God can do. Driving out demons. People once leprous, now cleansed. People once lame, now walking. Things that only God can do. And the amazing thing, it was happening of his own authority. This Jesus of Nazareth was making waves in their world. He was rocking their boat, and they didn't like it. "We are fine. Thank you very much. We don't need you to be our Messiah." And so Jesus addressed their sin. The master teacher continues his lesson plan from love. He says this, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Now, friends, think about it. Which was easier for Jesus to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Pick up your mat and walk"? I suppose in one sense, the easier thing to say was, "Your sins are forgiven. Where's the visible proof?" In another sense, they were both equally hard, because both forgiving sins and healing paralysis are things only God can do. But in reality, time would tell the world that the harder thing to do was the forgiveness of sins, because that took Jesus going to the cross to pay for our sins with his death and the punishment of hell himself. The world would see that. And so the harder was the forgiveness. But in this moment, Jesus says, "But that you may know that I have the power to forgive sins and the authority, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." A double cure for sure. The forgiveness of sins and the ability to walk. Now, some who were there saw both by faith. Others still walked away in denial. But the man who had been paralyzed, well, he probably went home dancing, praising his God, and forgiven. You know, the Bible describes faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of things we do not see. You and I were not there on that amazing day with the double cure, Jesus forgiving sins and with the word healing a man's nervous system. You and I were not there. Did it happen? You and I were not there. Could it still happen? Well, it's kind of like the age-old question, kind of. If a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a noise? Some people were there and saw with their eyes and believed. The rest of us were not. Yet the amazing thing in this gift of faith, you and I, by faith, trust it. We believe it. We know that our Jesus is the great physician of body and soul. And you and I just may dance home today because of who Jesus is in our lives, the great physician. Now, I got to believe that this man who had been paralyzed became a walking invitation to believe in Jesus as the Savior from sin. People would have said, well, he's the guy. There goes the guy who claims that he was healed and able to walk by Jesus of Nazareth. I'm not sure what I think, but I know I've seen Jesus do some amazing things. And I was there that day. And you know that I was there that day in Jerusalem when he actually gave up his own life. I felt the ground shake beneath my feet. I was there and saw the darkness that you could practically cut with the knife. I heard everything he said from the cross. You know, for a while, we saw a lot. We don't see it anymore, but I can tell you, by my eyes of faith, I still believe, and I still see. What does your faith do for you and tell you about this event and these words? I chose for us the theme today, we can trust the great physician. What theme would you give these words? Maybe Jesus, friend of sinners. After all, doesn't a true friend tell us what we need to hear? Whether it's, hey, I love you, or a crucial conversation, hey, you and I, we need to talk about something. These men came asking Jesus for comfort and help on one level, but Jesus, as their best friend, saw what they really needed and took them to a different level and said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they did not come looking for a friend, but they got one anyway. The crucial conversation. I know what you are thinking, and it's not good. But so that you may know, pick up your mat and walk and go home. Dear friends, isn't it a comfort to know that the great physician of body and soul sees deeply into us each and every day with a double cure? The forgiveness of our sins and the promise to bless with our earthly struggles? You know, if you come in, I may see your cane or your walker or the cast, and know of one of your struggles, one of your wounds. But I probably am not aware and cannot see the recurring sin in your life, that sin that just seems to be an addictive pattern in your life that you cannot shake. Yet you come here week after week after week knowing that Jesus sees it, and you know that he will confront it, but you also trust the great physician that he will forgive it. And somehow the cane or the crutch or the cast, God turns into a blessing still. You know, I can't always understand the timid smile when you come in the door because of remembered sin. The things that you did years ago, the thing that you did years ago, the thing that you did this past week that you're remembering that has changed your path, changed your life, that has separated you from people whom you love, or that the devil keeps trying to use to separate you and drive a wedge between you and God or between you and other people, that sin you remember that you just can't shake. Yet, we show up here week after week, knowing that Jesus sees, trusting that he sees, confident that he will again still the voice of our conscience and give us the peace and the sleep that can only come from the forgiveness of our God. The God who will say to us week after week after week, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And you know, there are some days when we show up here and we can kind of sense that one of us needs a hug. But we don't always know why. We can't know of the received sin in your life. The thing that happened to you that has made you feel dirty and sinful and not worthy. Maybe it was decades ago. Maybe it was hours ago. But all we see is that somehow you need a hug. But we trust, again, that the great physician will see. Because the great physician always sees deeply into each of us. And to each of us, he says, "Friend, if the sin is on you, I forgive. The sin that was done to you, I will deal with. And the emptiness of your heart, I will fill with my presence. Come to me, and I will give you rest." Who of us does not love the Lord's Supper? Where Jesus says to us, "I have given my body and my blood through my death on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And in this supper, I give you my body and blood that the personal hurt of your soul may be healed. And the personal hurts of your body may not be seen as a whip from my hand in your life, but rather as the loving discipline from my hand to help you grow." Yes, the voice of the great physician, speaking to our hearts, seeing into the depths of us, and giving us of himself for the forgiveness of our sins, for the peace of our hearts, the peace of our minds, and the joy of our lives. Fred Rule Hood died in Quincy, Florida in 1997, I think. I did not know Fred Rule that well. You see, he died a few months after I was asked to start visiting weekly with him for Bible study. I also did not know him well because a series of strokes had rendered his body very much stricken, and he was in bed, and he could not speak, could barely move. So I did not know him well. I could not address his physical needs. I'm no physician of the body. I couldn't even address really his spiritual needs because he could not share with me the wounds and the scars and the hurts of a life lived 70 plus years and now facing his death. But the most amazing thing was that every week, the great physician of body and soul would come along for the ride with his word and with his spirit. And every week, I would say to him, Fred Ruhlhood, I, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, Fred Ruhl, he had lost the ability to speak with his mouth. But his eyes and his one kind of okay hand could still speak for him. And it was amazing to me how week after week after week his eyes would glisten with tears. And his hand would squeeze mine as best he could as the great physician of body and soul freed him from his sins. And as we would say our goodbyes, his eyes would twinkle with joy. And his grip would squeeze mine with love. And I was privileged to speak at his graveside service and to tell his family and friends of a vibrant love the great physician had given him. Someday in heaven, I plan to find Fred Ruhlhood, and I plan to have a conversation with him when he can actually speak and I can still listen. And we will share the story of his life, the story of my life. But most importantly, we will share the story of the great physician who wove into our lives the good news message of salvation from bodies that are dying and were dead, and from souls that were dead because of sin. And we will talk about the amazing gift that was given to us in this life to trust the great physician. The great physician of body and soul. We will always get a faithful diagnosis every time. And we will always get a twofold blessing of cure in the forgiveness of our sins and the promise to bless with the rest of our life. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, friend of sinners, friend of me, we come before you today with thanksgiving and praise that you are the great physician of body and soul. You know what ails us each and every day. We know, Lord, that every Sunday we come here before you and we confess our brokenness before you and we receive your forgiveness. But now we want to say to you, thank you for, as we together confess our sins, personally, we know you see the depth of our hearts, the depth of our souls. You see our wounds. You see our hurts. And thank you for being a Savior God whom we can trust to always forgive. The Savior God whom we can trust to always send us on our way with joy. For that is why we come. That is why we are here. No fear of you, the great physician. Because you always operate from love. You always operate from grace. You always operate from forgiveness. We thank you for that. And we ask you to bring us back to your house often, wherever that may be. If that is here, what a gift. But we ask you especially to bring us into your presence every day through time spent in your word. Help us to know and trust that you are the great physician of body and soul, that you will always intervene in our lives and speak into our lives what we need to know, what we need to see, what we need to hear. But especially you will give us the gift of faith that gives us this amazing heart condition of joy in the darkness of this world, of joy in the memory of our own sin, of joy in the knowledge that we are forgiven in you, the great physician, our Savior and Lord. And now may we together as all of God's people join our hearts and our minds in the prayer the Lord has taught us. And because this is not on the screens, we pray the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer out of love for all gathered. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.